if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy. May I just say, whoa, Black Betty, can of spam. Whoa, Black Betty, it's a some bramble jam. Whoa, Black Betty, my name is Dan. Whoa, Black Betty, that's Coal Man.
Hi!
I did wonder where you were going with that.
That's how I spoke. We were delayed starting our recording today. That's Tim as well, by the way.
Hello!
But that doesn't quite work. Whoa, Black Betty, bam a lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, that's Tim.
Yep.
Doesn't really...
Whoa,
really
Black
work.
Betty, Tim, a man. Tim's a man.
Timberland. Now it kind of works.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, so that's how I entertained myself while we were delayed in the start of recording, because Coalman's laptop continues to self-immolate.
Hello.
Hello, mate. It was fun having you in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about Tim having a sidekick.
He's basically an NPC.
It sounded like all the professional podcasts that are out there, where they've got a producer in the background, and they're like, "Oh, producer Dave," and they're like, "Hello," just chime in every now and then.
No, yeah, not all of them sound like
Mr.
Bean, like drunk Chewbacca that we just kind of. How do you reckon? Actually, here's a thought: Chewbacca, when he went through puberty,
mm-hmm.
What do you think that sounded like?
I was thinking more where's the new places he gets hair.
Oh, or maybe until the age of 12, he was as bald as a coot all over.
What age does a Wookiee start going through puberty? Because their lifespan's like 1,000 years, isn't it?
So they've got to get to a good, 700, probably a good 150, 200.
You think
ever seen a baby Wookiee?
No one has. No one has seen a baby Wookiee.
Would it be like a good 150 years like before they start hitting
pigeons.
Puberty.
It would be. And then, puberty sucks enough anyway, but imagine having to go through puberty for like 80 years.
Imagine all them spots on your face, but you can't see them because of the hair. But you know they're there.
I know, right?
Aye.
Anyway, we probably ought to focus, because this is a podcast, and Funlo is to talk about prepubescent.
This is a serious podcast with serious news that we have to seriously discuss.
Talking of Whoa, Black Betty, he loves ham. It's Reggie Fils-Aimé, and he's retiring from Nintendo, bless him.
Another mention of Reggie Fils-Aimé, and another body shaming from Dan.
You don't need to be any particular size to enjoy ham.
Did you or did you not rename Reggie Fils-Aimé, which is in an animation, by the way, where Dan, where you renamed him Reggie Hamburger?
Yeah.
I might have done.
Hamburger.
Yep.
Yep.
Body of a hamburger.
Well, I went a little bit further and I changed his head into a hamburger in the animation.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. Don't live in a glass house, Coleman, if people throw stones, or however that idiom goes. I don't know, it's been a long day.
But yeah, he's retiring.
Yeah, he is retiring, and I'm just amazed that they found someone with the surname Bowser to replace him. I think that's amazing.
Well, Doug Bowser's been in the company for a year now, and I don't know if you've ever seen the his welcome video he did. Mm. He did a nice little address to basically, because everyone went, "You're mad, Nintendo! Why have you hired Bowser, you idiots?" I think we did the same. And he did a nice little video where he basically was standing in his office saying, "Thank you for the warm reception. I can't wait to get started." And it took a little while for people to notice, but there's two plushies of Mario and Luigi in the background that he tied up.
Yeah, with a controller cord.
Yes. Genius.
Yeah.
But he's set to take Reggie Fils-Aimé's position in April.
Although I think we're all going to miss Reggie, but it is going to be nice to have a corporate
Bowser.
Reggie,
a corporate president of Nintendo, whose surname you can actually pronounce.
Sorry, what? I just heard what Tim said.
What did he say?
Well, because I said, "Is it Fils-Aimé or Fils-Aimé?" And then I went, "Reggie, it's a me." And he goes, "Reggie, it's a me, yeah. Reggie."
Oh, no, Fils-Aimé.
Oh, Fils-Aimé, a Reggie. It's something about that tickled me, sorry.
Oh, that's right, carry on. Yeah, so he's going to be retiring soon.
After 15 years of kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I bet that went down well on his first day on the job. Hi, I'm Reggie, I like kicking ass. Well, right, calm down.
To be fair, he's leaving it in a pretty good state. And, I know this has been commented on by a lot of American podcasts and stuff, but I think it's reasonable for us to be passing comment on it because basically he doesn't just represent America. He's, through the Nintendo Directs even more recently, spoken to the kind of English-speaking world about what Nintendo's doing at the moment.
Yeah, and he's much like Yoshida or other kind of personalities out there. He isn't just kind of head in the company. Through the advent of YouTube and Twitter and stuff, he is essentially a celebrity for Nintendo. And he's a
heavily memed celebrity.
Very heavily memed celebrity. But
he took it all really well and took it on the very big chin. And but he's always always been up for a good joke and kind of gone along with it really well. And that at least seems to be from what you're saying of that video and that kind of thing, and from what I've seen of other photos they've had of him in silly hats, and it seems that the Bowser, and I don't remember his first name, and I don't know if anyone ever is. They're just going to call him Bowser.
They will.
No one's
Cooper Bowser.
Or they start calling Bowser Doug.
Oh, genius.
They could do. That's Inception. Inception in your Nintendo right there.
But yeah, he seems to be at least carrying that same sort of spirit on and having fun with it and knowing that, his surname is going to bring up exactly what it's going to bring up and playing to it. So at least it seems to be, kind of in a good shape and going over to someone that's seemingly been there for a little bit and hopefully, gets the spirit of what Reggie has created and left there as a legacy for him.
I have a question.
Yes.
What's everyone's favourite Reggie moment?
Reggie moment. Reggie.
I think my endearing memory, I know it's not a real one, so it's a bit odd, but is this...
Have you been... dreams aren't real, right?
No, but you'll know what I mean in a second.
They can come true, though.
The Muppet of him and Shigeru Miyamoto,
yes.
The two of them together.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's something where, that was Nintendo at the time and the two of them and, with, them no longer being there sort of thing,
I was just Googling pictures of Reggie Fils-Aimé and he's got an amazing photo from his college yearbook. I'm just going to have this. We might be. In fact, this might be my favourite Reggie moment, and it's from circa 1970. Let's chuck it in.
Talking about in the last 15 years. I know to you the 70s were only last week, but come on.
Shut up.
It's all right. To me, the 80s happened 10 years ago, so...
Yeah, I know. I don't think I have one particular moment. I just think my memory of him is just a genuinely nice bloke who genuinely cares about the product that he's helping develop and also about the fans that enjoy those products. So, I think that's going to be my favourite. Remember, we're talking about he's dead. He's not dead. He's still alive. He's just retiring.
15 years at Nintendo will be over in April, and that's 15 years to think of fond memories of things he did for Nintendo.
Mm.
The opening to the E3 presser where they did the Smash taunt, where he's fighting like he's in Smash, was brilliant. The Mega 64 video where he was Robo Reggie was amazing.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite is they did one year where they did the Nintendo Direct and they used the robot chicken guys to make stop motion animations in between. And Reggie Fils-Aimé is in his stop motion toy form on stage going, "Welcome to the Nintendo Direct. I'm Reggie Fils-Aimé. At least I think that's how you say my name." So I found that very funny.
So, fare thee well, Reggie.
Yeah, well, have we got any confirmation on whether he's retiring from Nintendo or retiring generally? I don't think he's necessarily spoken...
We know he's retiring from Nintendo, so he could be off to do something else. He could be something away from video games altogether. He might just be sat in a caravan or in his Winnebago playing a Switch.
Yeah, might be. Sat on a lawn chair, with Switch in one hand, shotgun in the other, telling kids to get off his damn lawn!
If he goes to work for a hamburger company, Dan, I'm claiming that you're psychic.
No, he's actually going to be an undercover employee at McDonald's for the kids' parties, and he's just going to dress up as the Hamburglar. That's going to be him in the hamburger suit.
I want similar situation to what you said, Dan.
It'll be with a scary hamburger
on his lawn chair with a shotgun, but instead of a switch in hand, it will be a 3DS, and then he'll be like, "You kids, stay away from my street passing. Don't need no more hats."
That was Coleman on the tube until he got a switch. So anyway, that's not the only Nintendo news, because there's been a Pokemon's Direct.
The bigger news is there was a Nintendo Direct the day before we recorded at a reasonable time. Yeah, and it was only 7 minutes long, so it was well easy to cover before the show.
Nintendo not trolling us for once. Like, well done, Nintendo, thanks.
There's new Pokemon's. I don't really understand the Pokemon's, but people are quite excited about the Pokemon's. There's two versions of the Pokemon's, Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield.
Okay, granddads, stand back. I'm going to turn my baseball cap backwards. I'm gonna get my Froob, and it's yogurt in tubes, granddads, and I'm gonna get my hoverboard.
Yogurt in tubes. Why do you need yogurt in a tube?
Shut up.
For being on the go and stuff. No time for spoons.
Yeah, no time for spoons, old man.
Wow. All right. Froob's what do you do with the tube after you've got rid of it?
Throw it in the ocean and contribute to the massive microplastics around the world.
So how do you extract yogurt from said tube?
You squeeze it.
Right.
Into your face.
Why?
You can freeze it and have a delicious frozen Fruby yogurt-y.
Fruby goodness.
Is it Fruby or Petit Fruit?
This is a good product.
I feel we're going off
the...
We
should go for some sponsorship again. We're doing this wrong.
Hipsters. Let's talk about Pokemans. I understand this even less than that.
Yes. Okay, so with every Pokemon RPG that comes out, it's usually for the Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, some form of handheld console.
Right.
There is usually two versions of the game, which will have new versions of the Pokemon and existing Pokemon split in between the two. So the emphasis is there for you to join up with your friends who have their versions and trade Pokemon.
So like Pokemon Teabag and Pokemon Clam Slam, for example.
And the reality being that people will buy two copies of the game because they don't have any friends that play Pokemon.
Cynicism!
Or just no friends. Hi. And so this now, the Switch, you may have noticed, it's a bit of a home console / handheld portable. So the new Pokemon game is basically what Pokemon fans have been asking for years and years and years. It is a home console version of Pokemon. It's a proper full-fledged RPG. There's no kind of gimmick to it. It is the proper series Pokemon title. So Sword and Shield are the two different versions. We also got a glimpse of where it's going to take place, which is the Galar region, which I believe is meant to be based slightly off the UK.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
Really?
UK region.
Hmm. And there are three new starter Pokemon. So these are the Pokemon you get to pick from the start of the game. There is a chimp Pokemon called Grokey, who is a leaf type. There is a rabbit Pokemon called Scorbunny, who is a fire type. And there's a water lizard Pokemon called Sobble, and he is my boy.
Everyone seems to be gravitating towards him.
Oh no, I saw everyone going for the Scorbunny, but I saw Sobble and went, he looks like a freak and I love him.
Lots of people seem to be shedding love on Sobble.
Yes, he's the new age Popplio. But yeah, it was a nice looking trailer. It's kind of as beautiful as Pokemon Go, the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee are. I spoke about those last year. They're very good looking games. This one, it's got a little bit of a stagnant feel in facial animations and what have you, because they're basically remaking the first Game Boy game for the Switch. Mm. This one is a brand new title. It looks a lot nicer going forward. It's still got that... Still got a little bit of blockiness to it, like it's a 3DS game, in my opinion, but it's an improvement on what we've had. And I'm looking forward to getting this and then playing it for a week solid and then getting to a point where I don't understand new Pokemon and stop playing and go back to Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu.
Predicting your future failures.
Mm.
Well, all I was thinking after your thrilling monologue.
Thank you.
Was that if they were really modelling after the UK, Lucy, shouldn't it be Pokemon Brexit and Pokemon Remain? There we go. Political humour. Wah! And 48% of the copies will be Pokemon Remain and 52% will be Pokemon Brexit.
Why did you turn into Waluigi just then?
Wah!
Evil Nintendo.
Wah!
I'm a Daniel. I'm a gonna win.
So there we go. More Nintendo news.
Is there?
What?
There's more.
Whoa.
In a kind of Xboxy kind of thing, kind of way.
And we may have been wrong.
Rumor has it.
The rumors.
The rumor. That bit of a fool's bit of a throwback for you. For all's throwback. Xbox Game Pass is possibly coming to Nintendo Switch.
This excites me.
I know. I think this is blooming good. However, the one thing I would say is that you will need to have a live, fairly decent internet connection in order to get the most out of this. And bearing in mind that streaming games can get a bit dicey if you don't have a wired internet connection, as in there is a network cable going into the back of the console or device you're playing it from, things can get a bit laggy and a bit not great in terms of how the gameplay feels.
Play in docked mode then, basically.
I think so, yeah.
However, if this works, I'm quite excited by this.
I have a Game Pass
subscription, and if I've got one more thing I can do with headphones in while EastEnders is on the telly, I am quite happy with this.
Excellent. A total sensory deprivation against a tedium that is life.
Yes. I have a question.
Yes.
As a value proposition thing for prospective other people.
Already
you've got me excited with the term value proposition, right?
Indecent proposal.
I'm just wondering for people that are in the position that we're possibly not all in, but if you don't have Xbox Live, can you have an Xbox Game Pass subscription as one independent on the other?
I believe so.
You can have one independent of the other, but you won't have any of the multiplayer stuff. I mean, some of those games are more dependent on Xbox Live and others, like Sea of Thieves, for example. Without one of those online passes, you can't be playing the multiplayer games.
If we can all Sea of Thieves on Switch, that'll be mad.
But see, that raises some interesting questions then. So if you have an Xbox Live subscription and you have a Game Pass thing, but you don't have Nintendo online, can you play Sea of Thieves online?
I don't know. If a bear farts in the forest, does anyone hear it? I don't know the answer to these questions, Tim.
Nature-based existential question
with Nintendo
farting bears.
Then my gaming-focused question that preceded it, and we don't have a existential forest-based.
All right,
do you want a genuine answer? Yes.
Do you want a genuine answer? I don't have a clue. That's my genuine answer.
Well, you know, we could just put that on loop for pretty much every week, Dan. But you know,
I look forward to your expert opinion on menu systems in about 20 minutes. Carry on.
I'm interested, and I think because it is Nintendo, it will be locked behind a paywall of getting online to use Game Pass, but there you go. Where's the info come from? Because this is a rumour.
It's still a rumour.
It's via Game Informer and Direct Feed Games, which is, quote, an outlet that has a strong track record for rumours, especially centering around Nintendo.
There's a big rumour I've just noticed is missing from our agenda this week as well.
What's that?
What?
A rumour that may stir some flutterings in your heart, Mr. Coleman.
Oh, is this about Scalebound?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was last week I heard that.
Yeah, I forgot to add that to agenda.
Just after we did the show, but...
Yeah, there's rumours that Scalebound might be resurfacing on the Switch, which would make sense as to why Xbox took Microsoft took all the trailers and stuff off of the YouTube channels and things for Microsoft. So, I'm not going to get overexcited. Not yet. Not yet. Plus, that game looked to have major performance issues on the Xbox when it was... Well, sorry, the Xbox Project Scorpio, as it was at the time. So God knows what it's going to be like on a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's quite interesting to me about this is clearly there's a bit of a... Hey, you don't like Sony either, right? Okay, yeah. Let's join forces.
That's pretty much what it feels like.
Yeah, exactly. The likes of which the world has never seen. And we'll stick it to them. So I think it's going to have... Sony's going to be forced to up its game quite a bit. And especially, you know, I think Nintendo and Microsoft have very much taken the sensible choice of, well, if they're not going to come and join us in cross-play, goodness, screw them. We'll just make the best of it ourselves and they'll beat the odd ones out.
Sony are going to announce their cross-play options with the Ouya.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
The team made in heaven. The popular series of scientific calculators made by Texas Instruments is also going to be part of the cross-play as well. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah. How long do you think the meeting between Nintendo and Microsoft was, in which they essentially came down to the... So, we've hear that you've forgotten how to make consoles, and we don't know how to do online, so...
Well, I mean, I think that's probably a mutually beneficial agreement here. You know, I'm sure there's deals behind the scenes, but I think it was pretty sure it was like, Sony a dick, see? Yeah, yeah, they are, yeah. Want to do something about it? Yeah.
I think it's time for Sega to step out of the shadows.
Well, no, do you think it might be
a Shadow the Hedgehog.
Do you think it might be a case in a next generation that we could see them teaming up on an even grander scale? Or you think they'll remain independent?
No. The Microsoft are too... Both companies are too control freaky, I think, to allow the other to dictate any terms on its own platform.
Thing is, I think we're now getting to a point where Nintendo seem to be over their fear of teaming up with other studios following CD and following the Nintendo PlayStation Super PlayStation, whatever it was going to be called, you know, all that rigmarole. Xbox want into the Japanese market. Nintendo, they make great games but don't particularly have the infrastructure behind them online and in other services like stores and what have you. Microsoft could be a good shout for them to team up with.
It could solve a lot of both of their problems.
Basically. Like, are we taking one rumour and created a whole new rumour?
Yeah. Oh, I know, right? I look forward to quoting ourselves in next week's podcast.
Someone's going to quote us. It's going to be great.
Exactly. and the podcast via Big Red Barrel, an outlet that has a questionable track record for anything.
Questionable amount of listeners. Questionable presenters. Everyone's questionable. Well, this is the questionable podcast.
Do you know what isn't questionable?
What's that? Go on then.
Points.
Oh, I'm interested.
You're right. Yeah. Oh, you're interested. You
really
can't
like
actually.
Points.
You can't. Yeah. Yeah. Points are a thing.
Points excite me, Dan.
Do they good?
They do. They tickle my interest.
Do they? Lovely.
Yes.
Good.
If you're interested, right? Okay. I'm not going to continue that trend forward. It's about to go pretty smutty pretty quickly. I'm not going to lie.
Hey guys, something that I missed off the off the agenda last week because I typed it up and then went, this isn't news, and then I took it off again.
Do tell me, Coleman, I'm excited already.
Yeah, Overkill's The Walking Dead. I don't know if you've heard about this game. It's the guys who made the Payday series. They wanted to make a Walking Dead game. It pretty much looked like Left 4 Dead. Mm-hmm. Came out on PC, had very mediocre to low reviews.
That I would say mediocre's generous.
Yeah, so that came out last year, and then they pushed back the console release, which was meant to come out this year. And then there was a rumor circulating last week that the game was going to be cancelled on consoles, to which Starbreeze Studios came out and said, no, it's not cancelled. It's absolutely fine. It's all rumors. That's all this is. This week they've gone. Skybound, the company who owned The Walking Dead, they came out and said, we've ended our contract with Starbreeze Studios and we will discontinue all efforts on Overkill's The Walking Dead.
Oh.
Yeah. There's some weird stuff going on over in that there Starbreeze Studios, including like financial troubles and people turning up and taking computers away from them, and
some
all
will call
kinds
that robbing.
Of fun.
Other people will call it not paying your bills.
Yeah, more like bailiff kind of deals. So there's some weird stuff going on. We may see the end of Starbreeze.
That wouldn't surprise me, actually. Sadly, well, it's sad, but
yes, that's no good.
Do you know what I have an intense dislike for?
Zombies.
Everything.
The numbers 2 and 3.
Is this about Resident Evil?
Yeah. Oh, No. I'm just saying that generally, and this happens just to be on
two
the agenda
three.
As well.
Oh,
what
right.
do you think, Coleman?
I think I like games being ported to the Switch that I haven't finished on the PS4 because I can't be bothered to sit down and actually play them, so why not put it on a console that I can play them on the Tube, which is generally where I get most of my games completed on now.
Are you worried that certainly in the later incarnations, people might just think you're watching tentacle porn on the Tube?
No. I've seen worse on the Tube.
What's the worst thing you've seen on the Tube?
There was a day where me and Tim went to Richmond to go see Bandai Namco, and one of the England World Cup matches was going on at the time, and England lost that match, and on the way back we saw a topless man who had been painted red and white in England flag colours, and he looked very sad.
Aww.
Also very drunk, but very sad.
Aww. Aww.
So I saw miserable half flag man on Tube once. That was good. And the man who decided he was going to watch all me playing on the Switch for ages and then nudge me to take my headphones out and go, it's okay, I'm just watching because I want to buy one, and then wait until I beat a boss and then put his hand out for a high five. And I felt really
awkward. I kind of quite like that.
No, I spoke about this before. I waited till the next stop and then I got off and went to the next carriage. because I didn't want to sit next to him anymore. I'm not good with interactions with strangers. Live show coming up, by the way. So, yeah. Capcom, they've confirmed that we're going to get Resident Evil 0, which is the prequel to 1, 1, which is the HD remake of Resident Evil, and 4 on the Nintendo Switch. 4 is usually the one that people regard as the best one. For me, it's 2, but that's okay. We've already got a remake of 2. I'm happy.
So 4 is the best one, but 1 isn't the best one. Mm-hmm. 1 is just 1. 4 is the best one.
The HD remake of 1 is very good. I've never tried right. 0, so...
But that's not the one. 4's the one you want.
No, depending on the price, because it's Nintendo, I guess these will get released on the Switch for like £35, and I probably won't pick them up. But a sale at some point, I will probably go grab
them. I have a question.
Yes, Tim. Mm.
0 is presumably a prequel.
Yes.
So, but when was it actually released in the numbering of Resident Evil?
You're a dick, Dan. I believe what happened is, so Resident Evil, if I've got this right, Resident Evil 1 was a re-release of the first game for the GameCube.
Right.
And then following 1, that was when they made 0.
Right.
So I think that's somewhere in between Code Veronica and 4.
Right.
I might be wrong.
Brain cramp.
I'm sure you could look that up yourself. Yeah. But anyway... That's coming out on the 28th of February. So that's out.
No, I think that's pre-orders, isn't it?
Oh, pre-order, sorry, for the 28th of February. The games will be on the eShop on the 21st of May.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Other things that happened just before this podcast started is a point of interest to me, possibly no one else. Destiny 2's been a little bit dead on the old content front for a little while now.
It's got more it's got more than Anthem, though.
Hey, I'm talking about that later as well.
Topical!
Yeah, I know, right? Season 6 of Destiny 2 starts on March the 5th, complete with the next installment of their annual pass. Goodness, it's called Season of the Drifter, so that annoying git...
The chocolate bar.
What?
Drifter, the chocolate bar.
No, it's the Littlest Hobo.
There's a place keeps on calling me down the road, that's where I ought to be.
Jesus. Are you quite done?
I don't know, we'll see. Try talking, we'll see what happens.
I think that may be a go-to joke whenever you talk about this piece of content from now on, though.
Yeah, anyway,
every step I take, I'm making you friend!
March 5th.
Sorry, carry on, Dan.
Go.
Destiny,
yes, March 5th. Everyone gets new content, but you get more of it if you've got the DLC. And the annual pass, you can have bounties to level up to the right level and actually enjoy it on the day of release, unlike Black Armory where you had to do a miserable grind for at least 3.5 weeks before you could enjoy anything. And there's a new Gambit mode and a match made pinnacle PvE tower challenge type thing called the Reckoning.
The Reckoning.
It's you've got to battle your way towards your home through a never ending onslaught of trash pandas is what you've got to do.
I love the term trash panda.
Yeah, trash pandas. But it sounds like Gambit Prime, they're actually trying to mix things up a bit. It's that everyone on your team can assume a role, and the person in that role has certain bonuses to, you know, like, you know, for example, you can have one person's a moat collector, another one's clearing enemies, another one's invading the other team, and the other one is, I don't know, they're making cups of tea or something. And this is all kind of based in a new mode called Gambit Prime, which is role-based Gambit, and it's just a single round. And the Reckoning ties into it. You earn Gambit Prime gear by going to the Reckoning, then you go back to Gambit Prime, then you get more stuff for the Reckoning. It's a big kind of circle of stuff. I don't know.
It's a circle of stuff.
It's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, that's March 5th, which is Tuesday, I believe.
I have just seen Tim do the most biggest pot calling kettle black moment where he pretended to fall asleep as you were talking.
It's all right.
I hope you're reviewing a game today, Tim.
Yep. Oh, look, there's two.
Two games,
goody.
Excellent. Cool. So how's Destiny at the moment, Dan?
Are you... I haven't played it for 2.5 weeks.
You haven't been... Oh.
He's been Anthem-miming.
Well, I've been Anthem-miming, and I've been Division 2 beatering. Division 2 open beta this weekend, by the way, so do get stuck in. It's well worth having a look. So I've kind of... Because I know there's new content coming in Destiny, I'm like, well, I kind of think I'll just wait until then. And I've been enjoying stuff like Diablo 3 Season 16. It's been good times.
Good times.
And teaching Kev how to mine in Elite. The fun we have in PC land, anyway. Tim,
yes,
you're about to give us an engaging series of reviews of what you've been playing on the Switch. I do hope this is super entertaining and that I don't fall asleep during it.
Well, I actually have two games.
I cannot wait for you to tell me about the menus in both of these games.
Well, I can talk about one game that basically doesn't have any menu. How's that?
Yeah.
Anyway, what I'm excited to talk about, Ape Out.
I'm excited about this.
Came out for this today, and yeah, like I'm glad everyone seems to enjoy this as much as I've been enjoying it. Don't know if you remember, it was kind of I don't know if it was announced or just came to prominence on a Nintendo Direct or the Nindy type thing, as it's now not known. But the when they do sort of indie presentation of Nintendo games, it's a kind of monochromatic overhead.
It's not monochromatic.
Well, not entirely monochromatic.
It's colour blocked. There's lots of colour.
Yeah, yeah. Well, flat basically, coloured. You are a orange griller seen from
hence
above.
Hence why it's not monochromatic.
And you're his basically
tie's red for one.
Trying to escape through the environment in a kind of... A lot of people draw levels with Hotline Miami. I think that's just because it's quite visceral and gruesome, and
is it thematically similar to Hotline Miami? That's what I want to know.
It's overhead and it's bird's eye view and it's violent. Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty similar.
Except for there's no weapons. You're just
just no cool soundtrack.
Yeah, an angry escaping monkey. The other kind
I thought there was jazz. I thought jazz was the soundtrack.
Well, if you shut up for a second, Dan.
Oh, how does it
you
feel,
get more
Tim?
Information.
How does that feel?
Oh,
yeah.
If I may interject.
Yes.
Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down until tomorrow.
You have to sing it in jazz style, though, Colin, for this section.
Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down.
But yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, like, it's a very, very stylish looking game, and it also kind of ties in musically. Like, the background music is all a kind of jazz drum beat. That kind of ramps up with the action of what's going on a bit and kind of reacts to what you're doing, but also you introduce other beats to that music in the kind of violent acts that you do in
so a classic Nintendo game is what you're saying.
Well, it really isn't, but you're kind of like smashing some of the enemies. But you're kind of smashing some of the enemies into walls, and that'll be like a cymbal crash, and that'll add that to the music. And you can also be like grabbing enemies, and they'll let off a shot, and you can use that to shoot other enemies and then throw the person that you're holding into other enemies.
So when you be like grabbing an enemy, can you throw them out of a window and accidentally fall out the hollow?
Yes.
Nice.
As I did on my last one just before we did. But it's even kind of... with the ties in even further with the musical side of things and the way it's divided its levels. Each is divided into an album, which is divided into 8 tracks, basically.
Oh, that's what the disc thing was about.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, I kind of got stuck on the last level of the first album for a while, basically, the last track. That was really hard. But, yeah, like, it's really enjoyable. It's kind of your... It's almost at its best when you're quickly accelerating through an area and just using your kind of speed and aggression to run through things and get past things quickly. But there are also times where you need to like turtle up a bit and grab people and throw them. And it's all kind of solving those miniature puzzles around that and around the different enemy types and the different guns they have. And solving those puzzles quickly and getting through things. And then it throws different elements at you, and in the style of the presentation...
There's elephants involved.
The lights go off at one point, and the second level... the first level is just kind of a sequence of levels on the same floor, whereas the second album is all kind of on a high-rise building, and you're working your way down through a series of floors for each track. Yeah, as I said, it's really kind of stylish looking. It's got kind of a it's sort of a shading effect to some of the stuff, even though it's like in block colours, as you say, kind of, Dan. It's like...
very good, Timothy. Every day's a school day. You learn something today.
The monkey's
well
this
you.
Kind of orange, and there's lots of like red splashes when you're hitting the enemies. But other than that, they're generally like white, or they've got like little bits of colour on them to kind of help signify the different enemies and stuff. I don't know how this works in like colourblind, like, mode, or if there's any kind of sequence that I don't know if that's something they just had to not take into consideration.
Orange and greys are traditionally
a stylistic thing, or something they've actually, you know, spent time developing on. I don't know, but yeah, like it looks fantastic. It's got a very heavily stylized look to it, but I think it works really well and really nicely. And they play on that and play with that throughout the different levels. And yeah, like it, if you were intrigued by the look of the trailer and liked the sound of it and the
Which
look of it, then it's exactly what it looks like on the tin type thing. And they do expand and play on that from what I've seen so far, like really well. And yeah, I found it, well, reasonably hard, but even when I was getting stuck on a level, like I played it for an hour or so, like last night, just on that one level almost kind of thing. Even though I was getting stuck and not getting like that much further, like basically you can get hit three times while going through like one level. And the only like visual indication of that is how much of a blood trail you're leaving behind you as you go, kind of thing. But you get hit three times in the level, you're dead. Also, there's guys with like bombs and other obstacles and other things you have to deal with, but the bombs are really tricky because if they blow up right next to you, including like if you pick one up and throw one into the wall, which is usually a good tactic with most other people, but with the guys with the bombs, if you do that too close to you, you can explode yourself, and even at full health you'll die basically. So you've got to be quite careful and cautious and plan the way around those guys and other people for other reasons and stuff. And yeah, like it's solving those puzzles really quickly and trying, and you feel like you're trying to rush through and escape from this environment. So it works really well within the, you know, the kind of theme of what it's doing. It's definitely, as I said, a visceral, violent thing. It's not for children, I would say, is the kind of one proviso with it. But like, I really like what it is, and it's really nailed the kind of aesthetic of what it's going for, and the music and the visual style like gel together really nicely. So yeah, it's a definite recommendation.
Good. Ultra violent hipsters.
Do we know the pricing yet? Because is it out? It's not out yet.
Is it out?
Is it out today?
Yeah, I think it's out. Yeah.
What's the pricing?
I got a review copy, which I didn't say up front, so ooh, I should do.
But collusion.
take your sorry ass back to EA Game Changers and think about what you've done.
I'll check on the price.
It is on Steam. It costs $15. So I'd imagine about 10 quid.
It is $10.99.
Yes, just $10.99.
$10.99. Don't make me come over there and end you.
The one thing I would say is that it is like at first, until you start unlocking each of the levels, it seems a bit more one dimensional, as in like if you get stuck on a level, you won't unlock. But then once you've played through an entire album, it unlocks and unlocks an arcade mode for that level as well. You can go back and individually play any of the levels, but then you can also just play straight through an arcade mode where you're doing a high score run that has a cumulative time total that you can tick over from level to level, but then it's this one run trying to get all the way through and get as far as you can in one go, basically.
Okay.
So, yeah, like it unlocks a bit more and as you go, and yeah, as I said, really been enjoying it, so...
Good. I will actually be picking this up. I left my Switch at work, so I'll be picking this up tomorrow.
Huzzah! You left your Switch at work?
Yes.
Fail.
Let's talk about Anthem.
Yay! Oh.
Did I make the right decision in holding off, is what we're saying? Or
I'm still playing it via... I've still got time on my month of EA Premier.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, so Anthem. I want to like this game so much.
Everyone that's paid money for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I really want to like it, but they keep just shooting themselves in the foot repeatedly.
In hover mode.
It's not a good look.
It's like they're only... Okay, so you can... I finally got to the point where you start unlocking the higher difficulties and get the end game loot. And I thought, okay, well, this may change. This may, may actually make the game a bit more Diablo-esque, a bit more enjoyable, trying to min-max your character build.
Yeah.
But because you can't go into the menus and see what you've got equipped to remind yourself of the best way to chain your abilities, you kind of go, oh, yeah, I've equipped a load of stuff. Oh, wait, what's it do again? I can't remember. I mean, I'm just me being a doddery old fool. But, I mean, it's kind of really... It feels like a massive... It's not the grind that's unpleasant in the game. It's the fact that you've just got to... As soon as you've picked up anything, you know it's going to be at least 5 minutes before you get to use it, because you've got to exit out the free play or whatever you're doing. And you've got to load in Fort Tarsus, and you've got to go to the blah, 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 and then you've got to press the forge.
That's a lot of loading screens.
There's a lot of loading screens, and you've got to equip it, and then you've got to more loading screens, and you've got to go exit out of that and back into another thing, and then it just gets really very tiresome.
Yeah.
And that, coupled with the fact that I don't know what flipping genius in BioWare came up with this, but the idea that, so let's say you've got, you know, a masterwork, like, assault rifle.
Okay.
Apart from, like, the intrinsic perk, which is, like, score three headshots in a row and fun things happen, like the ammo bonus or whatever, or damage bonus, it can roll with none of the four bonuses relevant to an assault rifle. So you can get an assault rifle with plus 20% shotgun damage.
Right.
Or plus 30% sniper ammo. So great, that's really useful. So
do you think that's intentional something they've left in by accident?
I don't... No.
That doesn't sound like a deliberate decision.
No, I mean...
Eating glue.
So there's two possibilities here. One, it's a deliberate decision and, whoa, what are you doing? Or number two, it wasn't picked up at all before this game hit the shelves. And neither is a good look, I'm not going to lie. Neither is a great look. And I think the thing with Anthem is it really needs to get its act together. I mean, it very much feels like a writ large version of the multiplayer mode from Mass Effect 3 and Andromeda.
I quite liked the multiplayer mode in Andromeda.
And I did. It was good because it was a self-contained mode in self-contained levels where it was kind of the rules of engagement with the enemy and with your fellow players is very clear, but that's not really there for Anthem.
Some say that the multiplayer versions of Mass Effect 3 and Andromeda were better than the single-player versions.
Well, indeed. But, I mean, they're talking big talk about all the things that are going to come down the line with Anthem, but, I mean, I'll keep half an eye on it just in case there is something that comes up, because, you know, they keep saying, well, these big world-changing events come and gonna, you know, apparently they're going to absolutely completely redo the loot system in a patch that lands later today, and it might be all right, but I'm kind of fed up with games that it gets released, you go, it'll be all right in 6 months. It'll be all right.
Yeah,
you
know, just, the term roadmap is thrown about way too much now.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we were talking, I think there was a brief chat on the BLB Discord about this, that it's...
But isn't that the inherent difficulty of a games-as-a-service game? No?
No, not even games-as-a-service, Tim. Just, like, even just abjectly single-player games. I mean, the fact that, you know, I think digital distribution's great, don't get me wrong. I think it's a brilliant way to distribute content in a way that is very appealing to gamers. But with having that infrastructure there, in the knowledge that, you know, we can patch it after release, actually means that there's no real focus for getting something tip-top shape by the street date, because people go, you know, we can always sort it out afterwards. And frankly, what happens is they go, you know, people, you know, numbers are dropping off now. It's probably not worth sorting out all these things. And again, I think one of the things that really disappointed me about Anthem was, again, the kind of massaging of the visuals for the E3 trailer back in 2017, which, if you do a direct like-for-like comparison, the game looks nothing like.
Yeah, but they always do the target render things, but it's still a visually attractive game.
No. Apart from the fact, Tim, that it said this is in-engine footage.
That's in-engine, but not supported by the hardware that it's going to be released to. And I think wasn't the last end of year show we did, but the one before where I believe I can't remember if it was you, Tim, or if it was Dan. It said, I'm surprised that no one has Anthem on their game of the year to, you know, look forward to for the next year. And I said, well, it wasn't confirmed, but at the same time, I would be amazed if it looks anything like it did at E3. Because, you know, I was getting a Watchdog and Division vibes all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I think...
Absolutely.
I think when I was... And I think I'd been slightly rushed into my decision and should have had some other games possibly in its place. But I did put Anthem on my list of games that I'm excited for this year.
Yeah, and that's solely on BioWare, though, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. And I love BioWare games, and this is a sci-fi BioWare game, which is even more in my wheelhouse kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
and the team that works on Mass Effect didn't work on the last Mass Effect, which would suggest they were working on this.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it ticks a lot of things. But I have a total... I'm going to wait and see attitude to the games as a service games at the moment, because if you're not going to build all of the game to start with, from everything I've heard, I was right not to play the beta because I've now got more content to play when I pick the game up.
Not a lot.
Like 10 hours more in some cases, no? Like,
yeah, 9.5 loads of loading screens.
No, that's the pre... load the game and play it if you've got the silly edition or whatever, you know. But the actual the VIP demo and then the public demo later, that was what I needed to test and go, do I want to buy this on day one? And from all intents and purposes, no, I don't. And then listening to last week's show, because I got to listen because I wasn't on it, when Dan said this, when you said this, should you buy this game? Maybe hold off, maybe wait for it to get patched, maybe, you know, see what comes out later.
Advice,
on day one, no. And that was what I needed to hear, and as a consequence, I didn't buy Anthem. I was fully prepared to be buying Anthem this month, and that money's now going to wait for Division 2.
Yeah, which, if the beta of that is anything to go by, is going to be corking fun.
I didn't see enough difference between Division 1 and 2, but I played a holy hell out of Division 1, so I'm excited for it nonetheless. I mean,
visually it looks very similar, but the gameplay, there are some nice differences in there. So, you know, check out the free beta this weekend, mate.
Yeah.
So then basically what my updated Anthem review is, wait a bit longer.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the best thing you could do with it. I'll take one for the team on it, but...
Report back when it's good, Dan.
Well, okay, so...
look forward to Anthem 2 on PlayStation 5 and Xbox 2 and all that stuff.
Well, I tell you what, BioWare must be thinking, bloody well, I hope the next Dragon Age is going to be good. So otherwise they are in trouble.
They may be thinking, I hope we get to make the next Dragon
Age. That's what I was
thinking,
yeah.
So that's all I've got for this week. So, Coleman!
Hi!
You've been playing the video game equivalent of an Old Spice commercial, so tell me about it.
I've been playing Crackdown 3.
Yes.
Crackdown, and simply just because Crackdown 3 is one of the reasons I initially bought an Xbox One.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
I then ended up waiting for so long for Crackdown 3 to come out that I no longer had an Xbox One, and then got one again.
Bought one again.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So
coming.
You bought two Xbox Ones for one Crackdown 3.
No. I bought one Xbox One for Scalebound Crackdown 3.
Wow. Now, from what I've heard, Crackdown 3 might have been better off if it was never released.
I don't know. Crackdown 3 is part of the Xbox Game Pass, which is why I'm playing it. I would not be buying this for £50. I'd be buying this secondhand somewhere down the line. If you don't know the troubled past of Crackdown 3, they basically unveiled it with the first ever look at the video games that were coming to Xbox One at the first E3. Was that a month after the initial Xbox One TV reveal? And it was a pre-rendered trailer, and then we heard nothing for years. And behind closed doors, it looked like they had one studio working on the game who then quit and went to do something else.
Yeah.
There was going to be all this cool, destructive mobility. All the buildings will be destructible in the game, and statues and things.
Hey, I heard it had the power of the cloud.
Because of the power of the cloud.
Power of the cloud.
Was then sapped to the game will now have those abilities only in multiplayer mode and not in single player mode.
Just like, what?
Yeah.
And then the game went away again. Then Terry Crews appeared for the advertising. And
because
I do
why
believe,
not, right?
Yeah, I do believe it was solely they pulled out Terry Crews to advertise the game, not to be a playable character. Yeah, we've spoken about this before, Tim.
And it was so popular.
It was such a popular idea that people went, wow, I can't wait to play as Terry Crews. And Microsoft Studios went, play as Terry Crews. Of course, yes. Delay that for another 2 years. So now Crackdown 3 is finally out. Two versions of Crackdown 3, by the way. The app for multiplayer is separate to the single player. That's because they are basically two different games. One with all the cool destructive stuff, but rubbish multiplayer. And one with the single player, but none of the cool destructive stuff.
But, yeah, to the point where they've actually got individual 1,000 achievement points for each game.
Yes.
I think, no?
Well, I think every game's 2,000 now. It used to be 1,000 on the Xbox 360, and they got up to 2,000 for the Xbox One because future and that, yo.
Or they could have just divided all the values by two.
The game itself, Crackdown, I literally went into multiplayer, blew up a building, went, hey, and then got out, you know? Yeah. And I recommend you do that. Go in, shoot some stuff, blow things up, and then go, all right, back to the single player.
Right.
This one, I am playing as Terry Crews' character because why wouldn't you?
Why did they bother with anyone else?
He's Commander Jack Son, like two X's or something, because extreme.
because he's street and cool.
Yep. The inclusion of Terry Crews, which is actually kind of disappointing, it means you get an opening cutscene where he is full on Old Spice Terry Crews. Just in the Crackdown armor, and he's like doing the right mannerisms, and he's screaming, and he's got like they have holographic tattoos on their arms, which is weird, and he's got like these I think he's called the Daddy Ducks, his squad or something, so he's there going like quack quack mother duckers, and that's all really cool, and then he's rallying his troops ready to go blow some stuff up and beat people up, and then the whole ship blows up and your character then gets cloned. I think it's the same intro for any character you pick. Terry Crews is the guy, and you would be one of the squad, or you are Terry Crews.
Right.
You're then brought back by some kind of rebel faction, cloned or fixed or something. It doesn't really go into the full details.
But he can rebuild you, basically. Yeah.
Then you have to go out into the world and take down this big evil corporation. And it's kind of weird, because the first Crackdown, I beat Crackdown, I loved Crackdown. Yeah, yeah. The first Crackdown, you are part of the agency, and you are taking down crime bosses. But throughout the game, there's this kind of woven story that there's a militia rebel group that might be that you're working for the bad guys and the agency's actually bad and the militia's good. And
hang on, didn't they explore that? That was Crackdown 2, right?
That first one.
That was for,
there'll be a woman that comes in and goes, you're fighting for the wrong side and all this kind of stuff, and you'd ignore it and then go, wait a minute, am I the bad guy? And then the second game came out and they focused more on multiplayer co-op and zombies everywhere.
I missed the mid 2000s.
Everyone hated it.
So
Crackdown 3 comes out, and now all that kind of, is the agency bad, is the agency good, that's all gone out the window for agency is good, rebellion group is good, there is now an evil corporation that is bad, and you have to take down the evil corporation.
It sounds very confused.
It's not really, it's just it doesn't know what it wants to be. The whole point of the Commander Jackson character seems to be a couple of cutscenes, but then it's just voiceover for the character, but it's pretty random stock voice, you know, he just shouts the Terry Crews-y things at the right moments. It's not all that impressive, just for the opening, really, I found. It still does that thing in Crackdown where you don't really have character customization. You have a stock set of characters that will change varying development on how you build your characters up. The kind of overall feeling is this, if you liked Crackdown 1 and didn't like Crackdown 2, you'll probably like Crackdown 3, but don't look for it to reinvent the wheel. It's pretty much Crackdown 1.
Yeah.
Just with cooler looking visuals. I was talking to my friend Neil about this because he is an Xbox One X owner and I am an Xbox original day one thingy owner, £60 bought it in a skip owner. And I'm having problems where every 10 minutes or so, the game will freeze for about 30 seconds. And then I go, oh, the game's crashed. And then I go to switch it off, and then it just springs back to life. Very weird. Doesn't happen on the Xbox One X, only happens on the Xbox One. So make of that what you will. Don't know how the PC version plays.
I couldn't possibly tell you.
Dan can't be bothered.
No, I've got other unfinished games to play. Thank you very much.
He's got Anthem to play.
It's a shame, though, because from everything that I've seen from Crackdown 3, from like watching a bit of gameplay and a few other bits and bobs, like it seems like a game that was rushed to release, but we know
but
that
it wasn't.
Wasn't kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like a game that was made in 18 months.
It seems like a game.
To me, it sounds like a game that was made by committee and no one really could quite work out what they wanted it to be. They all want it to be something different.
Years, like 10 years from now, there'll be a really interesting Kotaku article about this.
Well, there's going to be a good couple of articles. There's going to be what the fuck happened with Destiny, what the fuck happened with Anthem, what the fuck happened with Crackdown. It's going to be, seriously, 2026 is going to be a great year for games journalism.
I want to read the book about Bungie leaving.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty tasty. And interestingly, about Marty O'Donnell coming slightly back into the fold as well.
But back to Crackdown, I will say, like, there are some sites that are going, it's mediocre, but that doesn't mean it's bad. It's nothing really breathtaking to modern day standards. I think it's a HD remake of Crackdown, and that's not bad. I love Crackdown. I still go back and play Crackdown now.
It sounds like that would have been a much better and quicker idea. Just remake the first one, get everyone back on board, and then relaunch the series from
Crackdown
there.
Is on backwards compatibility, and if you have an Xbox One X, they have done all the enhancements and stuff for it, so that option is there if you want it. I am having fun with it. I am having fun with it. Despite the problem with it freezing for 30 seconds at a time every 10, 15 minutes or whatever it is.
So I have a question.
Yes, Dan.
Multiplayer. Is there any point to it?
No, it's really basic. It does the thing of it's got the mode where you kill a guy and then you've got to go pick up whatever the dog tag or whatever it is they've dropped. It's got a King of the Hill mode. It's got something else that I didn't try, but it's all very stock multiplayer, you know.
Right. Okay.
And auto aims on in multiplayer, which is a bit annoying.
But no sign of the destruction adding anything more than you'd seen in a video game before, though. Basically,
it's a pretty looking Red Faction.
Yeah.
You know.
Mate, the destruction Red Faction Gorilla was awesome.
It was, but it could. You know, it'd wear out over time. If you didn't enjoy the game, then that's not really something to hang your hat on. If you've got Game Pass, then download it, give it a go. I am actually really enjoying the game despite its flaws. One of the things I do like is you no longer go, hey, I need an agency vehicle. Do I pick this vehicle, or this vehicle? Once you pick the agency vehicle, if you've unlocked the other variants of it, be it Beach Buggy or one's called the Spider and one's like a speed car and one's a tank type car, you can switch them on the fly while you're driving. So I really like that mode. And one of them could drive up walls. So that's nice.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
Jolly good.
Crackdown 3. Not terrible.
Crackdown 3.
Right, the other game I've been playing on my Switch this week is a game called City of Brass. Now, before I forget to mention, I did get a review code for this again, but one of the things I forgot when I'd recognised the name of the game and I'd seen it somewhere before, and I forgot when I agreed to take the review code. I believe you'd spoken about the game on the show before, Mr.
No,
Tom.
Never spoken about it on the show. Okay. Played it, wasn't particularly impressed.
Right, okay. But I think you mentioned that to me having mentioned that I'd picked up the review code, and I went in with slightly lowered expectations.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Thanks for that conversation. Yep. Yes.
Has this got anything to do with the Devabad trilogy by S.A. Chakraborty?
I do not believe so. I don't know if it takes any inspiration from that. I know they got a similar name. But this is a kind of Arabian Nights type themed first person.
Arabian Nights.
He has to sing as well.
How about that Will Smith
first person adventuring. You've got like a sword
terrifying
in one hand
nipples.
And a whip in the other. And the whip will kind of like help stun things or help you like swing over things, and the sword will help you kill things, basically. And it's kind of got an interesting... I like the combat loop. Like, I quite like the way it works. You can, like, target different parts of your enemy. Like, if you target their weapon hand or their weapon, it will kind of knock the weapon out of their hand with the whip. Mm. Or you can just target their head to kind of knock them back and stun them. Or with the whip, you can, like, pull them in towards you, which you can use to pull them into a trap, which will kill them and stuff, basically.
Or to give them a big hug.
Doing a whip motion, Tim just punched his headphones.
The setup for the story is that...
Classic Tim.
The setup for the story is that it's a kind of desert oasis thing, city that's been pulled out of the sand by this genie type thing.
Will Smith.
And, yep, not Will Smith.
Terrifying Will Smith. Nipples.
And you're, the initial character you can play as is a thief who has stolen this amulet that's revealed this city. You can then subsequently... also play as
there's a lot of Aladdin comparisons.
Well, yeah, but subsequently play as a female character that is the person that had the amulet stolen from followed the thief to the city and is trying to find him and the amulet and go through the sea.
Gotcha.
And then subsequently there's other characters you can unlock, like soldiers,
sorcerer of a parrot,
and other different characters. Haven't come across any sorcerers yet, but yeah, just generally like other characters and they play a bit differently, but I haven't unlocked any of those yet, so I can't speak to those. But yeah, generally you're kind of wandering through, defeating the enemies and then picking up treasure kind of thing. But it's got some interesting mechanics where interestingly, it's kind of, and they have kind of played on this in marketing, but they're playing up to the fact that it's ex-BioShock devs, basically.
Yes. There are about 30 games now of ex-BioShock devs in some form.
Yeah, and then lots of people that did work on the previous games, and I believe they did work for 2K Australia, the people that worked on City of Brass,
So is this a dungeon crawler? Because I'm understanding it's a procedurally generated TM... roguelike TM dungeon crawler.
And that's what I was going to come on to. That, like, I like a lot of the elements of what it's doing with the kind of general dungeon crawling, the arrangement of that and how it works. And it's got some interesting mechanics like the glossary and everything that, like, helps you out with what everything is in the world. Doesn't fill in those details until you've interacted with that sort of object. So there's lots of potions in the world and you don't really know what they are until you've tried them. And then the next time you come on the next run through, you can actually go, oh, right, what is this potion and what is the effect? Because I don't remember from last. But you can only do that once you've tried quite a few potions, sort of thing. So those subsequent run throughs do work in an interesting way with that.
That is not a good life lesson, by the way, kids.
Yeah. No,
not a good life lesson.
Not a general good life lesson. But also, like...
Try these berries, see what they do.
You can do interesting things with some of the shops, and they kind of pop up, and it that's where I see a bit of the...
They've got pop-up shops.
The DNA of the kind of BioShock dev is... It felt like the shops in that to a little extent.
Oh, like the vendors.
It's like a genie that pops up and kind of does the thing. It's not... doesn't do the like the interacting thing, but you can also then there's an element where you have three wishes that you can add like throughout the game,
wish for more wishes.
Basically, when interacting with the shops, enhance what you get back from the shops. Like it will in some cases increase the price. For example, you can disable all the traps in one area, and traps are quite harmful, and if you don't notice them, they I think traps kill me more than enemies in this game, basically. So you can disable all the traps in one area for a reasonably high price of like 500 gold, basically.
That's reasonably high.
Reasonably high.
That's reasonably high. Rip off.
If you add one of your wishes, it'll disable all the traps in the whole city.
Ooh.
But it costs you like 1,500, which is a lot of coins, basically.
That's unreasonably high.
That's a lot of coins. But in other ones, you can interact with it and get like health back, and you can get more health if you add your wish to it, basically. But you only get three wishes, and you can only power up three of those things. But then also, in each level, you're trying to search for the exit, and you only have a certain amount of time before these dervish...
wish
which
for
are
more
just
time.
Big balls of light that are indestructible, and you can't defeat them. You just have to run away from them. And they turn up, and once they turn up, you just need to bug out of the level, basically.
Yeah. They're like the Kabuki mask in Mario 2.
Yeah.
That bloody thing.
Yeah.
I've recently been
actually
replaying
really
Mario
terrifying.
2. So.
Ten-year-old Dan found that moderately terrifying, that mask.
I didn't like it. But anyway, but it's one of those things where I struggled to like the game at first because you're kind of a bit underpowered and don't really know what's going on, and especially with the glossary, you can't even like find out or read up on things until.
And you have to put up with that in real life, Tim.
But for instance, those dervish enemies, I didn't necessarily know they were indestructible until I checked that in the glossary after losing a fight with them a couple of times, kind of thing. I mean, like, I had to check up if I could defeat them somehow. I was like, no, I just have to run away from them. But it's roguelike, and if you die, you go back to the beginning. But there is a level-up system. So, for instance, when you level up a character the first time, you'll automatically get... And I don't know if it was attributed to the thing I already had or was just random, but I got the weapon that I had at the end of my run. But it was a good value weapon that means that I don't have to upgrade my sword at any of the shops. So I'm... you know, already at an advantage in combat and in general kind of thing. It does have an element to it. And I think it's one of those things that will get more enjoyable as you understand how things work a bit more and as you go through it. But like as I said, I quite like the combat loop. I like some of the exploration stuff. The one thing is that for me, the procedural generation takes away from the game more than it adds. Like at times it feels like, oh, this room feels a bit unconnected from that room, and it just feels like I'd prefer it was a structured thing and I actually knew where things were and then just randomly put enemies in places. And that's more like the previous game I talked about, Ape Out, actually is randomly generated, but it feels that feels more in keeping
with
the game.
That's jazz, man.
And like there is a, like, you know, within narrative kind of reason for why that's the case kind of thing almost, but at the same time, I don't know, it feels more randomly like jiggled, and you know, randomly like,
jiggled.
But like if I go into a room that's supposed
stop
to be
using
like,
those technical terms, Timothy.
I go into a room that's supposed to be a big room with interesting things in it, and it's oddly arranged for that sort of room.
Someone's been a jiggling.
Oddly constructed. And like, I don't know if it's just me like knowing that it's procedurally generated, but you know, because you obviously, once you go from like one game to the next, then it becomes obvious. But yeah, like, I don't know, there's something about that I think I'd prefer this game if it was more structured. Also, the fact that when you die, you go back to you don't go back to the beginning of the level, you go back to the beginning of the game.
Oh.
Yeah, but with your character leveled up and so more easily able to get through. And
so
it does
like
get to the point where you could,
yeah,
really,
roguelite.
You could really race through the early part of the levels and don't really have to bother with any of the level ups because you've got so much good stuff anyway and can just hack and slash your way through and get a bit of treasure and carry on. So like I can see that getting less of a problem as you get a bit further into the game.
A bit Bloodborne-y.
But yeah, as I said, created a bit of a bad impression. I've come round to it a little bit. I'm still not sure of the structure of the game, but I'm enjoying my time with it. And I think it may have found a better home on the Switch than on other platforms, just because there's not that style of game on this already. And I don't think it would necessarily look as impressive on a PS4 or a PC where it was previously released as it does in just handheld mode. It looks reasonable in that.
So what you're saying is I need more time.
More time.
With City of Brass.
City of Brass.
I must wish for more time!
Yes.
From the big blue creepy nipple genie, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Creepy nipples. And what you need to do then is what I then wish for more wishes. That's
can't
what you're
do
doing
that,
wrong,
Dan.
Tim. Seriously, that's why me and Coleman should play the games.
I wish for more wishes.
It's against the genie code.
It's not against the genie code. Wish number one, tell him to ignore the genie code. Wish number two, more time, please. Wish number three, more wishes.
I wish for infinite birthday cakes so I can have infinite wishes when I blow out the candles.
It's true.
That's not as reliable as genie wishes.
Infinite lamps?
Ooh, yeah.
Infinite
possibly.
Genies?
That's bad. Then everyone have a genie, and then everyone have their wishes, and then
no,
some of
mine.
Them probably take away some of your
no,
wishes.
No, they're all coal man's.
Every time I get three wishes, the genie dies and spawns a new.
Yeah, he is at Coleman. Coleman is the only genie pimp in the village.
It's a different reboot of Robin Williams' genie each time. So
right.
Robin Williams, you get your three wishes, then it's Will Smith, then it's...
then it gets worse.
Then it's Greg Wallace in a
Greg
panto.
Wallace. I would not want to do my three wishes. I wouldn't want to lose Greg Wallace.
Can you imagine a blue, freaky nipple Greg Wallace? That would be terrifying.
It's just called Greg Wallace.
Yeah, it's true, actually.
If you mess around with the hue settings on your TV. Do TVs have hue settings?
I think back in the 90s they did.
Excellent.
Good.
I'm sure you could probably get in it to write a debug menu, but I don't think you can have the out-of-the-box Greg Wallace freaky nippled experience without unless you tweak some menus.
I remember my colours being on too bright, and then Bargain Hunt came on TV and I was blinded by David
Christ.
Dickinson.
It just melted your TV.
Anywho.
Anyway, we probably ought to bring the show to a close. I'm assuming you're done, Timothy. You are. Fantastic.
We should randomly jiggle our way out of here.
We should. But not before we procedurally generate Tuesday.
Yes.
Wow.
Slow to the
queue
there. Was not concentrating on entirely. Anyway.
Someone randomly jiggled Tim's brain.
Yes.
Oh, no, right.
Anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday, in which we have a different feature game, a board or a card game. And if you play that game that evening, you have a chance to win a copy of that game at the end of the evening. Yeah, last week was really good. Fallout went down pretty well. We got three games of that on the go and had lots of people playing it throughout the evening. And thank you very much for everyone that came down. Yeah, it was a good evening. And this week's game is another one I'm excited about for a slightly different reason. This is basically based on the Choose Your Own Adventure books back in the day. Like the actual,
I remember those.
Actual Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Oh, wow.
It's one of those turned into a game that plays from like 1 to 99 people.
Okay.
So, and it's called, this particular one's called House of Danger. And yeah, it's just one of those turned into a game with a little board to keep track of things and
nice.
What's going on. And yeah, like it's, it looks really good fun. And yeah, it's generally been well thought of.
Should,
and
should
I
we play this before Tuesday?
Yeah, we possibly could. Then
okay.
I can learn
Saturday
it and teach
sorted.
People better. So this is good. But yeah, like it looks like a fun one, a good one to come along and play, especially as we can get a really big game of this going, hopefully, as well. And yeah, like good one to come and join in for and have some fun with. So anyone doesn't know, or there are more details up on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com for each of our Tabletop Tuesday meetups. You can also search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com and join the over 1,700 members that we have there.
How many was that?
Over 1,700.
That's
over
a lot.
1,700.
20-ish.
That's more members than a sausage party.
Yeah. Again, we don't want everyone turning up at once, please. But yeah, like it's. Yeah, as I said, good thing to turn out. We are at the Loading Bar in Dalston. Come and join us for some board game fun, and yeah, meet some fun people, and possibly win a copy of the game.
That's Tabletop Tuesday on the 5th of March at Dalston Loading Bar for House of Danger. Danger. High voltage. When we touch, when we kiss. And I'm going to take this time to introduce my
themed
night.
I'm
going
to take you to a loading bar. A loading bar. A loading bar.
Oh, I like that one as well. I'm going to take you to a loading bar.
Yeah.
Let's start a war. Start a nuclear war. But that was Fallout last week.
Loading bar. Loading bar. I'm going to take this time to introduce my new themed nights because every Friday... on the 5th of April, for one specific day of 2019. But every Friday, the 5th of April, 2019,
right.
will be EGX Res live podcast Big Red Barrel UK night.
There we go.
So just to say, on the 5th of April, if you have not guessed, 2019, it's going to be EGX Res. Well, it's going to be on the 4th of April to the 10th of April. But on the 5th, which is the Friday, the last show of the night will be Big Red Barrel UK Live, where we do a live podcast. And if you've not heard about us talking about it already, because this is your first episode, one, you picked the wrong episode to come in on, mate. And two, you might, I don't know, maybe you've forgotten. Anyway, yeah, so new live podcast. That's going to be great. It's going to be our first actual proper live podcast where we have a proper big audience and stuff. That's going to be amazing.
Also,
we're going to give away prizes, and we're going to talk to members of the audience, and Tim's going to say basically a bunch because I'm not going to have the chance to chop like half his basically's out anymore.
Basically.
Ums and ahs.
Yeah, and you'll actually realise that the show's 15 hours long.
Yeah. So if you do attend EGX Rest and listen to the live show, then yes, there are a lot of things that get cut out of the show in terms of... We make too many vocal crutches and ticks and things that I spend ages taking away. But yeah, it should be worth watching.
Jolly good.
Yes.
Yes. That's
everything.
That is all the things.
Except.
Right.
Shout outs.
Shout outs from the Facebook. I would like to say thank you to Frey Goddard. I kind of let that went. I think kind of was a bit of a letdown at the end. Was it? I kind of was going in with the musical theme, and I just said her name. Sorry,
oh,
Freya.
Can I do them in an exciting way?
Go, please do.
Shout outs, thank you to Freya Goddard, Andy Baines, Mike Kayser, Richard Kirk, Rob Evans, and Stealthy Joe.
My neighbours are going to be wondering who the f*** those people are.
That new X Factor's got some weird names.
Yeah.
So there we go. Thank you, everyone, who listened and left nice things about us and iTunes, looking at you.
Hmm.
You,
Jeff.
Yes, you know, need to up your game. So that eels pretty much it.
Tell your friends.
What?
So I'll tell a friend. Campaign.
Tell your friends. So tell
your
friends. If you like Big Red Barrel UK and you think someone else would like Big Red Barrel UK, why not recommend it to them?
Hashtag tell a friend.
Why not snatch the phone from their hand and make sure they download it and subscribe there and then?
Yeah, do that. Do that. So steal all your friends' phones, surreptitiously install BRB UK podcasts on and hand them back like nothing has happened.
Basically be me when a new podcast comes out that I like.
Yeah. Yeah. What, you just steal everyone's phone and put them on? What? Why would you do that?
I'll talk up a podcast to death when I just think it's amazing and everyone should hear it.
Talk it up to death, thereby killing it and limiting any further enjoyment that people might
get
from it.
What do you do about a podcast that's decidedly average and, you know, underbaked despite years of preparation?
I say, hey, have you heard my podcast, Big Red Barrel UK? I'm on it. Hi.
All right. Right, we're going to go now because we are going. I'm off. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Do as you know, I'm not. I'm just going to remind you, first of all, to go to www.bigredbarrel.com, facebook.com/bigredbarrel, twitter.com/bigredbarrel, and all kinds of other stuff in between. So make sure you come along and say hello. And there's always the BRB Discord server as well, which is bit.ly/discordbrb, I believe. So, yeah. Well, that's it. I've run out of stuff to say.
Hammock.
Mm-hmm.
Porcupine.
Terrifying banana. Nipples.
Banana.
I just think banana.
Duck-billed platypus.
Ooh, good one.
Mm.
Ollie Murs.
Donkey.
Donkey.
Whoa, Black Betty.
Whamalam. Bamalam.
Bamalam.
Slamalam.
We've come back round to the...
Slam-a-clam. Whoa, Black Betty.
Bam-a-lam.
Go on, Tim. Tim, you can come up with some. Come on, Tim.
I just did.
Whoa, Black Betty. There's me, ma'am.
Whoa, Black Betty. Ham on a can.
I like jam.
Whoa, Black Betty. Put jam
like
on
jam.
A lamb.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. You not got one, Tim?
He did.
Tim
he said, I like
very
jam.
Confused.
He said, well, Black Betty, I like jam.
Yeah.
Did he? But I said like, I put jam on lamb.
Well, I was saying I like jam at the same time.
Well, okay.
I noticed that you put jam with your ham.
No, with the lamb.
Whoa,
the
lamb. Black Betty, Sam, I am. Whoa, Black Betty, green eggs and ham.
See, I actually,
yeah,
there's a whole
nice.
Seuss book we can use.
I actually like jam, though. So, and you don't put jam with your lamb, and you don't.
I do not like them, Sam. Tim. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Mm.
I don't like. Green
Whoa,
eggs.
Black Betty, where
Who
I am.
Like green eggs.
Can we get out of here, please?
I think we should.
I'm stuck in a loop.
So, whoa, Black Betty, I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
Whoa, Black Betty, I've been Coal Man.
Yes!
Yes!
So anyway, thank you ever so much for listening, dear listeners, because you're listeners and you listen, and that makes me very happy in my places. So,
Black Betty had a child, bam-a-lam, that Tim went wild, bam-a-lam.
Bam-a-lam.
There we go.
There we go.
Took a whole episode to squeeze me into that song.
We are going to go now. So thank you very much for listening, if indeed you still are. And we'll be back next week. And it's up to you whether or not you download it or not. You know, that choice is yours. Well, it's a free world. Do what you want. I don't know. Do you know what I want? I want my dinner. So we're going to end the show.
Good.
Good.
Thank you for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
Maybe tomorrow I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you want to join me for a while, just grab your hat, we'll travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on.
You and your ears are quite welcome.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.